I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
5 o'clock straight up on a live imagery Tuesday, Shenandoah and Cap. It is time for What You Need to Know.
Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
Take it away, producer Lindsay.
Thanks, Christopher. So Tupac Shakur is getting a street named after him in California. Cool. The late rapper will have a stretch of a street in Oakland named in his honor after a unanimous vote by city council last week. The section of MacArthur Boulevard where Shakur once lived between Grand Avenue and Van Buren Avenue will be known as Tupac Shakur Way. Or I guess as Mason would say it, Tupac.
Tupac.
Tupac Shakur Way. Mm-hmm. The legislation says that the commemorative street naming will remind us of Shakur's contributions to Oakland and our communities through the celebration of art and culture as an awakening tool towards changes in society. Shakur, of course, was born in Harlem, and he lived in Oakland in the early 1990s and said he claims it as his home.
All right.
All right. That cool. is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
I mean, come on, Oakland. It's been a while. I mean, like, let's go, man.
All right. So you want me to read Coach Dave Miller's texts?
Dave Miller has something he wants to say to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Says, you always build around your superstar, any sport, any league, anywhere. You fit pieces around LeBron to win another championship. Hashtag period.
Mm.
Hashtag, like he wrote hashtag and then a period.
The word period.
No, no,
the
word period. Period.
Would you hashtag period. The word period, though?
Shouldn't it?
Maybe.
Shouldn't it be period and then the hashtag? No.
No. Hashtag, no,
hashtag period.
Period. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And he wrote out period. P-E-R-I-O-D.
Correct.
Capital P or
and
no?
And by the way, now he's added, it is LeBron's team.
Oh.
Well, hey, listen, I will say this.
He says AD may be the best player, but it is LeBron's team.
Well, I'll say this. It is LeBron's team, and I agree with that. And I'll say that at the end of that game last night, when there's 4 seconds remaining in that game, I know what I was saying to myself, give the ball to LeBron. And I know a lot of other people don't agree with that or didn't like his shot selection or maybe the play that was drawn up or perhaps it was just the execution of the final play. To me, you know, I might think Austin Reeves might have a better chance to hit a shot right now or maybe AD goes closer to the rack. But I agree that it's LeBron's team. And I think that LeBron was the guy that should have had the ball and should have taken the shot. He did. Didn't work out. But I said it last week and I believe it. You live and you die with LeBron James. You have to accept that. But he is now, as we look at the year, and by the way, amazing results from 2-10 to making it in, to making it to the Western Conference Finals. Amazing results. We never expected it. Way beyond what we thought. But, I mean, you're looking at the rest of the conference, and George, didn't you make a whole point this year? This would be the year to do it? That's why he's rushing back from injury?
I mean, well, on the beginning of the year, consistently said, this year the Western Conference is fairly open.
Didn't Windhorst say to us probably 6 weeks ago, don't miscalculate competitiveness.
Tim Bontemps.
Yeah. Oh, it was Bontemps, yeah. Might be. Bontemps said, don't misunderstand competitiveness.
For not good.
For quality. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. And so the West was very competitive, but most people thought it really wasn't that good. And that's because most people didn't give Denver the respect that they were earning.
Right. And they're good.
And we all understand that now more so.
Yeah. Should have listened to me months ago.
What I'm saying is that if you're the Lakers and you're looking into the future,
yeah.
Don't you think that other teams are on the rise right now in the Western Conference?
Sure. I think everybody's going to try to reload or revamp or retool or whatever. Of course.
Okay.
That's what off seasons are for.
Right. But you look at Denver and you mm-hmm. look at how long this group of guys has been together,
mm-hmm.
in particular, their star players and how these guys have built over the years and how long their coach has been there. And all of these things, George, are just build. It goes back to what Giannis said. There's a process. You build it every year. The Nuggets have built it every year. The Lakers are trying to rebuild it every year. And so all I'm saying is that LeBron last night, first half, I'll give you, offensively, spectacular. Second half, all guts, not the points.
But, again, you can impact the game without scoring points.
Maybe so, but here's the problem. Tell me where I'm wrong on this. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's a basketball expert who knows more basketball than me. I grant you, my resume is only 3 back-to-back JCC championships for 12-year-old boys. That's my resume for basketball. Somebody explain this to me. Tristan Thompson? You looked down the bench last night and you came up with game 4 must win at home. Who do I got minutes for? Tristan Thompson. I'm not knocking the guy. Not one bit. I give the guy all the credit for being in uniform, being on the team, and actually contributing. But I was surprised, weren't you guys?
Oh, I was stunned Tristan Thompson played.
I mean, I've been telling you for 2 weeks, Malik Beasley's going to have a moment. Never came off the bench.
And you wanted Wenyen Gabriel in there.
I was calling for Wenyen Gabriel. I would have taken, you know, Jared Vanderbilt. You came up last night with Tristan Thompson? Guy hasn't played in 2 years. I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you get the point. That was shocking to me.
Yeah.
It was a great dunk, though.
And LeBron gave him a little alley-oop. Yep. It was like old school.
But I mean, strategically speaking, do you think everybody was having a meeting before game 4 and they're like, guys, look, we need another body. We got to have somebody. How about Tristan Thompson, coach? Guy hasn't played all year. He was in the ESPN studio across the street in a suit. Yeah, he's on the team, coach. Yeah, but he's only here because, you know, like he carries LeBron's bags. You understand what I'm saying? How did that happen last night?
LeBron?
What about LeBron?
Well, Darvin Ham told me this.
Yeah, tell me.
Before the game.
Yeah, let me know.
I asked him, any lineup changes? He says, yeah, I got several. Mm-hmm. And then I did a little digging afterwards, and I found out, I mean, I kind of knew the starting lineup change was going to happen with Rui and Schroeder. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know the Tristan one. That one did surprise me.
And the thing was, is that Thompson actually scored a couple of points, including the dunk, Lizzie, that you're talking about. But
And played decent defense.
But the issue was that there was like 3 minutes left in the game, and I got to go into my game notes. There's like a few minutes left in the game, and it's crunch time. It's a 2-point game, and he's there on the floor, and Anthony Davis is on the bench.
Well, he came in the first quarter, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm just talking about later in the game.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I feel like he was like a little spark for LeBron.
All right, can I address Drew Garcia at Chief Wordna?
Chief Wordna?
Werdna.
Chief Wordna.
Yeah, Drew Garcia. He's in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust. You can be in there as well.
What's up, Chief?
He says, you guys, you in Ireland especially, I think he's referring to me, which because he sent a second tweet after, are on LeBron 2016 land and think he's still the same player. Overpaid for his name. Make it make sense. Hashtag circle. At Sedano, you know so much about basketball. How are you missing what eyes can see? All season, what have I told you about LeBron James this year? Going into the season.
He's old.
And I said, he cannot carry this team by himself for 82 games.
Yeah, and I miscalculated and said, yeah, he can.
Right. You were the one that said that, not me. I'm the one that said he needs help, which is why you need to make a deal.
I said he's still LeBron. He's still superhuman. He can still carry a team. I guess I was wrong.
All I'm referring to in the discussion we were just having was last night, where my objection is you said he only had the LeBron half. And if you only think he had the LeBron half, you don't know how to watch basketball.
No. Listen.
That was amazing.
You think so? You like that?
Because he played incredible defense in the second half of that
game. Good job,
George, maybe so.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
maybe
I'm referring to Drew, too.
Okay.
You don't know how to watch basketball, bro.
And hey, Drew.
Sorry.
Drew, don't be offended. It's true. You don't know how to watch basketball. But Drew, I'm not offended because I don't know how to watch basketball apparently either. Hey, look, if you're going to watch an NFL football game, and the guy you're sitting there with was an NFL quarterback, let me explain something to you. He sees things that you don't see. He sees football from a whole different perspective. I see basketball, and I see somebody score 31 points in the first half, and a team go to halftime with a 15-point lead. I think that's a team that's supposed to win a game. When the game is over, and the team finds a way to lose it, and LeBron, who scores 31 in one half, and how many in the second half?
Nine.
That's a huge difference of output, of points.
Right. But again, there's multiple ways to impact a game. We just talked about this with AD the other day. When they beat the Warriors, he had 17 points. Remember the whole talk? Oh, he's so bad when he doesn't score 20. When he doesn't score 20 points. He had 17 points, 20 rebounds, and like 4 blocks. My point is, you can affect the game without scoring a ton of points.
Yeah, but I got to say one thing. You had to win this game.
But you can't blame LeBron for that.
I'm not blaming LeBron. I'm still believing.
But that's what it sounds like. This is why McMiniman won't come on the show.
It sounds like I'm blaming the guy. Does it really sound that way?
You're demeaning his performance yesterday by saying, we wanted the LeBron game. We got the LeBron half.
Well, I'm demeaning the fact that you scored 31 points in the first half and 9 in the second half, and you're telling me how great he was on defense.
You couldn't defend me in the post. How about you get in there with Jokic?
Hey, look, you put that big tuchus of yours right in my midsection. Okay?
And then trying to defend Jamal Murray on the wing? Do you know how hard that is? That guy scored 30 and a half, too!
No, I haven't defended against the guy. I'll give you a report next time I play against him in a little one-on-one at the JCC. I'll get back to you on that.
Don't you think that he was like, I'm going to score enough points to give us a decent lead, and then we just got to hold him, and I'll play really good defense, and that's kind of what he did?
I was stunned by his defense in the fourth quarter. How
really?
Good it was. I was.
I guess. I mean, you watch basketball differently than I watch basketball.
Well, I've learned from basketball people like Shinano and others to how to watch basketball.
How to watch it. See, so George, why don't you give like me like a one-pager?
Just come watch a game with me. Not sit in the suite and go hang out and, you know, do your cappy things like aplenjadas. Come watch a game with me. You and me. Tú y yo.
It's true. I mean, cappy, it helps.
It does? Does it
I've
help?
I've done it.
You and me.
Tú y yo.
Finals game. Let's go watch a finals game somewhere.
In Miami.
No,
you're not going there.
You need to learn how to watch it on TV where you can pick up on things.
Oh.
Other than, look, it's Jack Nicholson. No, you got to watch what's going on.
No, look, hey, there's Adam Sandler. Hey,
why is he wearing a bright yellow jacket?
Hey, there's Floyd Mayweather right there on the floor. There he is. There's Money Mayweather. Yeah, I watch the game differently. I do. What can I tell you? Hey, look, George, just so you know.
Yeah.
Not really knocking LeBron. It was an amazing offensive outburst in the first half. But where's everybody else?
Okay, there we go. Now we're talking.
See, this is how you watch basketball.
Let's do that on the other side, all right? How about that? And we can talk to Ramona about that.
Is that next?
Yeah, Ramona, and I'm going to play. We should play the McMiniman thing for Ramona. Let her know we're going to play this thing so she has an opinion on it. Don't. Let's not blindside her. Let her know, okay? I mean, are we going to break? You got something to say? You good?
I mean, we could. You should watch a game with Momo, too. That'll help you.
Momo would help. Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Momo and I sometimes sit together.
Oh, really?
A lot of games in the arena. Well, do you want me to get your credential sitting between us?
Oh, that's
next season.
That sounds
between
nice.
Me and
sounds
Momo.
Lovely.
No, he'll always go up to the suite.
Yeah, I'm more of a suite guy.
Hey guys. Yeah. I've got the sided app.
Hey, the dessert cart is here.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe a little less dessert cart and a little bit more watching
Cappy.
The game.
Who wants some of the rainbow cake?
I mean, you could have gone with Beto. I mean, it was a Clipper game, granted. He was going to let you sit on the floor.
I know. Something happened that night. I don't remember what it was.
I mean, you know, Beto knows.
Beto knows what?
Beto used to be the Spanish sideline reporter.
He also was. He was on the beat. He
and
was covering
his. He was our beat reporter back when we used to have beat reporters.
So he understands how great defensively LeBron was last night.
Beto knows. Hashtag Beto knows.
Okay.
Hashtag period.
Right.
There you go.
That's exactly right.
All right,
spell it out.
Momo's next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quarter after 5 p.m. in the Southland. It's a live imaging Tuesday with Shinano and Cappy.
Yeah.
On this day, back in 1995, the Loonies released I Got Five on it as the lead single from their debut album. Cappy, have you ever thrown down in the streets?
Oh, you know I got five on it.
I got 10 sometimes. Oh, I thought that was the hook. It wasn't the hook. I thought we were coming to the hook. I don't know if they're going to jam this at the Cowboy Palace in Chatsworth. That's where Momo, the great Ramona Shelburne, she'll throw down at the Cowboy Palace.
She's not listening. She's still talking to Lindsay, so she missed it.
I'll have to reset.
Yeah. Lindsay's explaining the McMiniman bit, I'm imagining.
It's also National Taffy Day. Is that like the Laffy Taffy? Because I like some good Laffy Taffy.
I like the Laffy Taffy.
You like Laffy Taffy?
Laffy Taffy? No.
You don't like Taffy?
No, it gets caught in my teeth.
So Ramona's listening now. Yeah. You can do the bit.
So I know they're not going to play this song at the Cowboy Palace in Chatsworth, where Momo is... She hits the street sometimes over there in Chatsworth at the Cowboy Palace. And I want to go this summer. But Momo, we may have to get Cappy over to the Cowboy Palace, and they'll have to put a TV up so we can teach him, Shidano, me, you, how to watch basketball.
Ramona, I said he should sit between you and me at one of the games.
Okay. The greatest thing ever is to sit where you and I were during this series, next to the opposing scouts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You get all the information.
I was sitting next to the Miami Heat scout and this Boston Celtics scout the whole series, and I was like, guys, thanks for letting me watch you. That was great.
Yeah, and the previous series, and in the Golden State series, we sat next to the Nuggets scout.
Yeah, great. Like, I mean, I've never pretended to know basketball the way that a professional scout knows basketball, right? But we just like, it's like cheat notes. It's like, you know, you literally like, it's like, remember those crib notes or the yellow books that you'd buy for like what?
Oh,
you
Cliff
know,
Notes. Cliff Notes.
Cliff Notes, yeah.
Yeah, we need a couple books of those for Cappy.
Well, you know, perfect. Ramona, here's what happened. I was saying that in the first half, at the end of it, I tweeted, this is the LeBron game we've been waiting for, 31 points. And at the end of the game, I found out that we really got the LeBron half, not the LeBron full game. And George has been all over me about that.
Well, because you're not counting the defense in the second.
You know what you did, though, Cap?
Tell me.
You know what you did?
Tell me.
Kiss of death.
Oh, yeah?
Kiss of death, at the end of the first half. Is what
you're the mush. I did the kiss of death.
You're the mush.
Oh.
I think we both did it. Do you remember at this whole series, okay? I picked the Memphis Grizzlies in seven. I was like, I think the Lakers are great, but the Grizzlies are really good. And, you know, every other day, they're the two seed. Oh, no. Lakers in six. The next round, Golden State Warriors. I think the Lakers could win, but as the defending champs, I picked the Warriors. Everybody, Lakers in six. So this time I said, you know what? I don't care. I think Denver's a better team, but they're the number one seed. They haven't really been challenged yet so far in this play. But LeBron's too close. I can't pick against LeBron James anymore. I've learned my lesson. Lakers in six. Let's do Lakers in six every single round. Kiss of death. It's my fault. I jinxed them. Like, that's it. We did the kiss of death. You did it with your tweet, and I did it with my pick. Yeah. It's our fault.
I know. Well, but George says, though, that LeBron played such spectacular defense in the second half.
He did.
He did.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that he had a monster offensive explosion in the first half. And honestly, it's just one of these games where he had to carry them. He did as much as he could in the first half offensively.
Yeah.
Couldn't score that much in the second half. And nobody else really came to
that's
to help,
the issue. That's
you know?
The issue.
I mean, but what I'm saying but is that like my expectation is that he can still.
What, you
do
wanted
it.
Him to score 60?
62.
That's what you wanted.
62.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he wanted him to double up his first half. That's right.
The man literally. Jokic, I think, only made like two baskets in the entire series when he was guarding him. And he guarded Jamal Murray on the perimeter. Like, that's unbelievably hard.
So well, on Jamal Murray. Do you know how crazy that is? Like, the only other player in the NBA who can even attempt such a feat is Draymond Green. It's to guard the best big in the league and then the best, one of the best guards left in the playoffs. That's amazing.
Yeah. And to do it at 38. I mean, he used to do that at 28, but at 38 to do that is wild to see.
Yeah. Well, this is what I guess I was getting at is that now I think, based on the year that the Lakers have had, how far they went, how the other teams are put together and are younger, I just think you got to really think long and hard about how much longer you're going to get out of LeBron, if any at all. And I only bring it up because he brought it up. I mean, I think everybody
here's what he really said.
Go
okay,
ahead, go ahead.
And I had to write a whole thing on this, and I was like, halfway through my Nuggets column, and I went, what did he say to David Bettman? Like, I mean, I heard the press conference, and it was like a LeBron cryptic answer, leave off on the, and then he doubled down on it with Dave. And I was like, okay, so we got to take this seriously now. But what he's really talking about, he kept saying, the best ability is availability. And I was not available to my team enough this year. And what he's talking about is he keeps getting hurt. Like, he missed a lot of time this year. He missed with that foot injury. He had some other things earlier in the year. Like, I really think what he's saying is, like, he missed a lot of time. Anthony Davis missed a lot of time during the regular season. And because of that, and we're not even getting into the Westbrook of it all, which is what caused him to miss, you know, to fall behind so far in the standings in the beginning, that's why they had to work so hard just to get into the play-in game. Remember that? Like, mm-hmm. when they were 13th and it was easier to count the teams behind the Lakers in the standings than in front of them because they were, like, 13th? Like, that was – they've been playing playoff basketball for 3 months.
Yeah.
And
it caught up
no
to
wonder
them.
They ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And even that, kind of amazing that LeBron had that kind of energy left to that game last night.
But I guess if I'm thinking about it, just again, a little bit futuristically thinking here.
Yeah.
When I think about what Denver has, they've got what I think is probably the best big man in the game. And they've got an incredible, what LeBron likes to call a laser. And by the way, not just one laser, George, you brought it up before the series started. They actually had more guys that could contribute consistently.
Multiple lasers.
Yeah, they did. And the Lakers don't have that. So I'm just thinking to myself, are they going to be able to get better than what we saw Denver last night? Because honestly, AD and LeBron versus Joker and Murray are better together.
Well, I don't know. I am still rolling with AD and LeBron, and that is not a slight to Denver at all. But AD, you got AD and LeBron at about 70% in this series. Like, those two guys were gassed. I mean, one of the things that I thought that people were, you know, we were all geared up to write different columns last night. We were probably writing LeBron if the Lakers won, but I don't, you guys, Tristan Thompson played meaningful minutes
in that
game.
Explain that to me.
I mean, desperation, well, that's what it is.
That's how desperate they were to get Anthony Davis a little bit of rest. And you know what? It actually mattered because he was great. He came back in. Like, Tristan Thompson was perfectly adequate in the four-minute stretches that he played. And he gave them good minutes, solid minutes. He scored on a fast break. And he was, you know, and James Worthy turned around to me during the game. And I go, look at Tristan Thompson out there. Like, he's doing good. I go, this is like when Dwight Howard came in the game. And he goes, you remember that old Wendy's commercial, Where's the Beef?
Yep.
Like, that was Tristan Thompson last night. And
but why would they not have used him 3 or 4 weeks ago just to get him a little bit of playing time?
He wasn't ready.
I know.
He was only ready last night?
I think he was ready.
No,
I think he was ready. I think they were just desperate enough last night.
I'll tell you this. When I was in Denver and he was going through his prep, the first game one, I was stunned at how he didn't look right. Now, in game two, when I saw him warm up, he looked much better than I saw him in game one. Like, it looked like he had, for whatever reason, had made tons of strides. Like, he was missing stuff and, like, just looking offbeat in that first game in Denver.
That's right about this one. I think if they didn't sign Tristan until, what was the last week of the season?
Right.
And it was, this is where they fell down, is they gave that backup center spot to Mo Bamba, and they were counting on Bamba to be the guy who just gave him like 4 minutes here and there. And then Mo Bamba's not very good, and he also got hurt. And then they had Wenyen and Gabriel, who can play in those series against the Warriors, but not against Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. Gabriel's like, he gives up 60 pounds. Like, LeBron is bigger than Wenyen Gabriel. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, he's too small. And so, Cap's right, like, they could have signed Tristan Thompson 3 weeks earlier and given some run.
Sure.
But the problem is, they had to win every game to make the play-in.
Right.
Remember when they were trying to just get out of the 9-10 game?
Tristan Thompson was too busy at that time on with TV with you.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm getting at, is that last night you're that desperate. You're down 0-3. You're at home.
Yep.
And what you've got is Tristan Thompson. And it's no knock on the guy.
Tristan, he played actually pretty damn well, I thought, yesterday.
He did. I think it's kind of a weird thing that the coaching staff didn't use him up until this point.
And yet, this was really the most. I thought they could have used him in the Memphis series. And I remember sitting and talking to Darvin before Game 6, and I go, "So is this a Tristan Thompson game? Because they kind of needed some beef in that series, right?" And he goes, "He might be." And I go, "I just can't believe I was hosting shows with this guy like a month ago." And he goes, "I know, but he looked really good in his workout." Listen, those minutes he gave AD to rest allowed Anthony Davis to be this monster when he came back in. Like, he was great defensively in the second half. They got nothing to feel bad about. I think the whole organization should feel great about how they resurrected the season, how they finished, that was a really the only thing I'm sad about is I don't think we got the best version of that series. That was a very entertaining four-game series. Yeah. It was a highly competitive four-game series. But I don't know why the schedule needs to be so compressed.
I agree. I said they should have a day off in between. Travel, at least.
And by the way, here's the other thing, is that now the NBA Finals won't start until June 1st.
Right, but they don't expect sweeps.
Of course not. But it has happened.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Ramona, because we only got about 2 minutes here.
Sure.
What do you make of the Lakers' future? What you heard from Rob Pelinka today and all the Kyrie stuff being in the building and LeBron's alleged retirement thing, perhaps. Like, what do you make of the future here?
Okay. You want me to do my best prognostication?
Yeah, just what you think they might do.
Yeah. I think the Lakers will do their best to keep Hachimura and Reeves. I think D'Angelo depends on the number. I'm not so sure about that one, even though he seems to be. And he's a nice player, as he said. And I think he has a role on this team. Like he was good in the Warriors. He's a finesse player, so he's good in certain matchups, right? And I do think he's a really talented offensive player. I don't know that he's back. I call that one 50-50. Kyrie to me is definitely an option. There's a reason he's sitting courtside. And George, you know this better than anyone. You don't just buy courtside seats on StubHub.
No.
Like the team knows he's coming, you know, like there's no pampering or anything there, but like he's coming there for a reason. He's not just like bored in LA. I mean, look, Trae Young was there last night.
He was?
I mean, I saw Trae walking.
No,
by.
I know. Yeah.
You know, and it's like players want to play in LA. They want to play with the Lakers. Like Kyrie clearly is making his presence known. Like that's not an accident. And I think that's real. I think, how much of it is just leverage for him to get 4 years out of Dallas? Maybe. I don't know that the Lakers would go to 4 years on him. It's a difficult thing for them to do, too, because it's a sign-and-trade. If they're bringing back the other two guys, it has to be a sign-and-trade, essentially.
So,
I think LeBron's back. I think, you know what, LeBron needs to go to Cabo on a family vacation. He needs to fill the cup back up. And let's talk to him in July and see where he's at.
Momo, I want to ask you if Cappy McMiniman is a little salty at Cappy right now.
Apparently not a little.
Can we just call you right back in like 2.5 minutes
so we can play the
audio and you can be the judge, jury, and executioner here for Cappy
and maybe help me repair the relationship.
Yeah, help him. Yes, he needs help. All right, so let's do this, Momo. We're gonna call you right back. Let's put her on hold. There we go. We're gonna call you right back and then we'll do no Chris. What?
Just keep going. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, Chris says we can keep going? Okay, Chris says we can keep going. So we're going to keep going.
Okay, do it.
All right, so here's the deal. All right, so Dave comes on the day of the D'Lo story, okay? And I'm in Denver, okay? And I am I'm going to dinner with him after, him, Trudell. It's the Michael dinner, okay?
Which D'Lo story? Which one?
The one about the sources told him that if they bench him, they may lose him.
Okay, yeah. Okay, got it.
So he comes on and Cappy asks him a question, and it just goes south after the way he asked the question. So we're going to play the question. I'm not leading the witness here because everyone always claims I lead the witness, and I'm just going to let you decide. You're a journalist just like
Listen,
Dave.
I'm a professional witness. You can't lead me anywhere I don't want to.
Right, exactly. So and you're a journalist too. So there you go. So play the cut for Momo. This is Cappy talking to Dave.
Dave, I'm curious. When you say that, just so people understand, because I actually am curious also, like, are you standing there and having this conversation? Or are you actually asking about it? And if you're asking about it, I'm curious, like, what leads you to wonder, can D'Angelo handle this? Like, we all talked about the ego that, you know, the previous Russell had on this team, Westbrook. But was there something that was leading you to believe that D'Angelo would have an ego issue?
No, nowhere in my reporting was ego used, and my AI program didn't tell me to ask the question. I have many, many conversations in the context of any night or any day or any shoot around or practice or post-game scenario, and you listen to what you're being told.
All right, so what do you make of the way Cappy asked that question about the way he goes about doing his job? And how do you feel about Dave's response? Where are you on all of that?
Okay. I can, first of all, you haven't made it in this business until you have a fake feud. So, Cap, I think this is a good idea to just lean in. I mean, like, to me, Mason and Bill Plunkett from the Register, like, that's just great. Like, that's fun. I want to hear that all the time. You and McMenamin should have fun with that one, okay? I think you should keep it up. I don't know any context from Dave, so this is my understanding of, or my read of his response. He sounded like he was quite busy. Like, it sounded like he was on his way someplace, and I know how busy McMenamin is because he does, like, a million things. He's always doing SportsCenter hits and essays and trying to break news and go to practices, so he sounded very busy to me. And kind of had no patience for you putting words in his mouth. Like, he was like, hey, get out of here with that, right? Like,
what happened was
want to get misaggregated. That's kind of how I heard. Yeah,
but what happened was he had written this report that the team was worried that they would lose D'Angelo, and I was trying to say, well, when if you think that they're going to lose him because he can't handle what is a perceived demotion. Like, now everybody's got to tiptoe around his ego, and Dave did not like the fact that I interpreted it a certain way.
Okay, now, Ramona, let me explain to you when I was at dinner, because John and I did try to pacify the situation, okay?
Yeah.
At this dinner, and Dave's interpretation was that Cappy was basically alluding to him being a bleepster with him, with the way he presented the story and the way he was asking him those questions.
Got it. Yeah, I could hear how Dave would say it. Look, I have a sort of, like when I do radio interviews or a podcast or something like that, we've all almost got this like professional athlete sensor in our head where we kind of know what we say and how it's going to get aggregated and what might cause, like, it's going to cause a stir. Like, there's just something that you say, like, you know, even when I'm talking about, like, you asked me about Kyrie earlier, okay? And I was like, you know, if I say it's definitely a thing that could possibly get aggregated and blah, 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 right? So I have to, like, I have to be the one deciding, am I going to walk out on the aggregation limb, right? Like, I want to decide how I frame the story, you know? And what parts of reporting and whatever am I going to go for? Now, my general sense is I don't think you did anything wrong there, Cap. I think he just heard you put ego in a report where he didn't use the word ego and was like, hey, why are you trying to get me aggregated? That's not what, you know, right? Like,
but
like
by the way, you know why you don't know? Because you've never been aggregated.
Yeah, I've never been aggregated. It's true. That's true. Yeah. I've never been aggregated. Have not. Have not.
A gutless copy.
Totally. I'm a gutless, non-aggregating turtle.
Correct?
I mean, I've seen you in person. You kind of took your time. Like, you were like a slow head neck motion turtle. Like, what's the slowest head turtle you could think
well,
of?
Well, you know, it is World Turtle Day today.
It is.
World.
Oh, wow. Hey,
it worked out great today.
Celebrate. Yeah.
Like, you didn't just completely turtle. Like, you kind of just picked your spot. You kind of just went, right? It was real. I've seen you.
That's a great sound, by the way.
It was good. I thought it was good. And it was good. You saw me talking to you. I made a hand motion, too, to just mimic it.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you guys that we didn't finish the story with Ramona? Ramona, so ultimately, Dave was so upset with me that on the one day of the year
Want to come on today.
That we need him on the show today to talk about this LeBron thing, he denied us his guesting.
But Chris,
wait, am I your sloppy seconds?
But No, we're going to have you on regardless.
Windy was sloppy seconds.
No, it was actually Windy. Windy was sloppy. Don't tell him that, but it was actually Windy.
Windy was sloppy seconds earlier.
Windy came on in the slot that McMenamin was supposed to come on.
You're clean firsts.
But Chris brought this up earlier during our crosstalk. Yeah. There is a history here, correct, Christopher?
On what?
Oh.
Dave and Cappy.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, I love a good feud.
Well,
this
here's
is
the thing.
Good.
In the beginning, Cappy went in originally with McMiniman, and then McMiniman sort of implied that Cappy doesn't watch the games. Now, that might not be a complete lie, but that's where it all started. So then the last few times that Dave's been on the show, McMiniman, which I'm not always, yeah. I always kind of fight Sinana like it's just a random day in March and we have to have McMiniman on. So I always push back, and I think Cappy has been inspired then that he could just fight with McMiniman, but you can't really fight with Dave and imply then these things. And here's the thing. Yeah. Ultimately, the one day we need the guy, he's not here.
Right.
Because you're a non-aggregating, gutless human being.
And he's gutless.
By the way, I want to tease this.
No. Listen. Dave, Dave broke that story last night, you guys.
Yeah, like, he did. He broke it wide open.
Yeah, and he's not on the show today.
Right.
I know. But, like, that takes guts to, because you know what? I can't tell, like, I was proud of Dave last night, because that was, like, that was the quote that was heard around the world, and he went and tracked LeBron down as he was, like, running out of the arena. I don't know that he actually ran, but I know where he got him, okay? And it's like the loading dock, so LeBron was probably walking out.
Yeah, where his car is, right, yeah.
His car is with, you know, probably his security guard with him and at least the camera crew or whatever. And Dave, I'm sure he had to walk out with him. Dave was doing so many things. I saw him talking to Anthony Davis last night for a long time. Like, he was, like, huddling with every star player. And, like, a lot of times when you talk to players, they don't want to have you source them. Like, they don't want to be on the record. So it takes a little guts to push them to say, like, I need it. This is on the record.
But,
like,
you know, Ramona, Cappy doesn't have guts. Yeah. You know why? Because he's gutless.
Why?
Because he's gutless.
No, McMiniman is a fiery Irishman, okay? He's a hard-working beat writer. He's, like, chasing after the guys and getting a scoop. So, like, you saying that I don't know that you want to fight with him in a fake feud, right? But, like, it would be you should lean into this feud. I'm down for a good feud.
So here's
I think, you know, like the Windhorse Mason in Ireland feud, that's a good one. Bill Plunkett Mason, love it. Like, I think you and McMiniman should be a thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and by the way, Mason totally turtled on that too, because I remember I had Brian in studio one day, and I was just like, "Oh, hey, Brian Windhorse, come in studio with me." Yeah.
On the YouTube chat, they're calling McMiniman Dave McGutless.
Nah, I can't do
that. What they're calling?
No, don't talk about him like that. He's a good. He works hard. And, like, that was a big night for Dave. Like, that was the story of the night. Like, he made me tear up my column in the middle of the night to, like, rewrite that after he got those quotes.
Mm. Well, Momo, thank you for.
I'm here for you guys. You can fight with me. You can make fun of me. It's all. I don't know. What do I say to you? What can you make fun of me for? I don't know.
I don't know, but
we're going to go to the Cowboy Palace this summer in Chatsworth.
Cowboy
I know that.
Cowboy Palace, there you go.
Hey, we need to do that. It's open again. The line dancing is hot.
Oh, the line dancing's hot, Cappy.
Really?
The beer is cold.
Got boots on the wall. Oh. Got real.
You
stuff
know how
there.
To two-step?
I know how to three-step.
Really?
Yeah.
Take it to the next level, why don't you?
And Cappy has to go watch a game with. He needs to sit between you and me in those seats.
Why don't we
next
do some
season?
Film study? Study some film.
I mean, listen, the conversations that are getting slung between me and Ramona in those seats, I mean, you'll learn a few things, even by osmosis.
Well, maybe if I'm sitting next to some scouts or something.
Yeah, that's where they are.
Yeah, scouts are the best. Yeah.
Ramona and I watched a game together. We watched the Cleveland game, of course.
Yeah.
I sat with Ramona. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Told me a lot about Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
I know. I did. We got the bio for it. Hey, by the way, we need to revisit your Cleveland Cavaliers at some point, Lynn.
No, we don't.
Sorry about that.
No.
How about on the Hoop Collective?
Yeah, wow, you said it. You said it right this time. He was actually trying to compliment Brian on the Wemby podcast after the interview, and he called it the Hoops Collective.
Yeah.
And Brian's like, "You mean the Hoop Collective?"
I was like, "No, the other one."
Oh, God.
the plural one.
Now, that's being a little too sensitive. But, yeah. Like, Brian's
no, but
like,
I don't think
on,
he was being. I don't think he was being mean. I think he was just being funny.
You know, that's like, okay, by the way, George, I have a thing. You got to help me. I have a thing with Mike Malone. I keep calling
Michael,
him Mike.
Do not call him Mike.
I know it's Michael, but it's like because you're not supposed to call him Michael, you're not supposed to call him Mike. I just, it comes out as Mike every time. I'm like, don't call him Mike. And then I go, hey, Mike, is that Michael?
Yeah.
Like, just call him Post.
Like, just call him Coach.
I, I just call him Coach. Every time I call him Coach.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm on the even on the shows. Like, I think I've done it 5 times. I keep trying to say, I spoke to Coach, and I can't just say Coach. I have to say
You can say Coach Malone.
Coach Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Coach Post Malone. Malone. That's right.
Like Post Malone. Right. Yes, exactly. I mean, they're exactly the same.
He's like 3 minutes and blown up. Face. Like, I'm about to get like a talking to during these finals if I do it in person.
Call Michael. Yeah, listen. When I got to do those things live on TV with him, so I know I got to call him Michael every time. So
I know.
All right, Momo. We'll see you.
You always do.
We'll see you at the what palace?
The Cowboy Palace.
Cowboy Palace in Chatsworth.
Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Momo.
See you, Momo.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right, we're gonna run a little. It is the Cappy Hour.
Yeah.
So we're gonna run to 55 here. We're gonna supersize
it. Wow. Nice. All right.
I like the math.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yes, indeed, 541 in the Southland. Okay, there we go. Perfect. Radio Tinder time. We like to play a TV theme. How about this one on this day in 1995? Ooh. ABC's Full House came to an end.
Uncle Jesse.
Really?
You can follow her at Lindsay Baseball on Twitter or Instagram. Don't forget about our sponsor, Tequila Mandala.
Tequila Mandala.
Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. By the way, after Radio Tinder, Corporate Greg wants to come in here and defend Cappy's honor.
Oh, okay.
Oh, about really?
Corporate Greg is here.
Five to seven minutes from now.
Wow.
I like that.
That's a wow.
Take it away, producer Lindsay.
By the way, what was your favorite of the TGIF shows before Lindsay takes over?
Step by Step because of Patrick Ewing.
Really?
I'm a big Dallas kid.
Yeah.
See, that was kind of like the racier of all the shows, I thought. That's why
not
it was
Patrick
on
Patrick Ewing. Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy.
Yeah, he played Bobby Ewing.
Is that the guy that you were a fan of on a sitcom?
No, let's all talk together, Cappy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize Patrick Ewing was on a sitcom.
Because this was on the original TGIF lineup. Oh, it's Full House was on there.
Wasn't it Family Matters, Full House?
No, it was Family Matters, I want to say, came later. I could be wrong.
Full House was at 8. Was at 8.
Family Matters
might have been 8:30.
Family Matters was the next show in 1989. Full House started in 87. So Family Matters 89, then Perfect Strangers.
Oh yeah.
Balky Bartokomus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and his cousin Larry.
Step by Step was like early 90s.
What was the guy's name who played
Balky?
And
then Just the 10 of Us. You remember that one?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah. Me either.
Just the 10 of Us, good show.
Not 8 is enough.
It was basically like a Brady Bunch wannabe show where the two parents were divorced and the kids all came together. It was kind of one of those shows.
Well, Step by Step was Patrick. I'm not going to let it go.
Patrick Ewing?
Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy and Suzanne Summers.
Oh,
correct.
Really?
Suzanne Summers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they came a little
Patrick
later.
Patrick Duffy.
Yeah.
He was the
Dinosaurs part of TGIF later on?
It was at one point.
It was the baby. Yeah, it was at one point. So Step by Step came 91.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And then Sabrina the Teenage Witch came later in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
The most popular iteation was
Dinosaurs. By the way, sorry, Linz, 91 to 95. Four years.
Sedano is pumped up when we come
really
to TGIF knowledge.
Those were great days.
I was like all in on that because you know that was one of the few channels that we were allowed to watch growing up.
Your parents were very strict. Yes.
So that was one of those things where like we would always watch like. Especially Full House, I remember my dad.
In Cleveland, they only had like 4 television stations.
Right. Exactly. I mean, did you watch the Drew Carey show?
I did not.
In Cleveland? Cleveland Rocks? You didn't watch that show?
I did not.
That was
watch
on Wednesday nights.
Oh, it was Wednesday. You're right.
They weren't allowed to watch on Wednesday nights.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper was also part of TJF at one
kind
point.
That was kind of a lame show, I thought.
And Boy Meets World.
Oh, yes. Boy Meets World.
Topanga.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I loved me some Topanga.
It's a quality item, Clark.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name who played Balky, though? You mentioned Balky.
Bronson Pinchot.
Yes. And he was in.
You're like our Balky.
Yeah. You are. Yes.
Achmel Foley.
He was in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
The original.
Right.
And I think the third one, too. Yes, he was Balky Bartokomus from Meepos.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bam!
Yeah.
My dad, though, he would always be like, see, guys, this is why you shouldn't blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, there was those cheesy lessons at the end of the Full House episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate so Greg to defend Cappy in just a few minutes, but Radio Tinder time. Take it away, producer Lindsay.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Christopher. All right, so NFL team owners approved a proposal that will allow Thursday night games to be flexed to Sunday and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Flexes are only permitted during the final five eligible weeks of the regular season, which is 13 through 17, and no more than two games per season can be flexed. Games can also only be flexed with 28 days notice. So now, the proposal passed with 24 votes, which is the minimum number that they needed, with eight teams voting no. While the league views it, the move as a fan-friendly decision, the opposing owners disagree, with Giants owner John Mara going as far as calling the move, quote, abusive for fans. Mm. Do you guys think that the Thursday night flex move is disrespectful towards fans? Swipe left or swipe right? George.
I think it's disrespectful to, like, the fans who bought tickets, you know what I mean? Because maybe you're not available if they flex it back to Sunday because right. It's not a good game on a Thursday. And that part I could see it being challenging. And for the TV viewer, it's great, don't get me wrong. But I could see for the fan that's there in attendance, for sure, that's challenging.
Let me answer this question by telling you that in Week 15 on Thursday night, the Chargers are at the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Davis was quoted as saying, and I quote, "If you have a Raiders-Chargers game in Las Vegas scheduled for a Thursday and all of the fans driving from Los Angeles, the Raiders fans, and all three of the Charger fans buy their tickets and book their hotels, how the hell do you say on the schedule, sorry, the game's now on Sunday? How the hell do you do that?" That is Mark Davis taking his swipe at the Chargers.
Well, he's right. I mean, the big gripe here is that the league is prioritizing the money from the TV channels or whatever over the fans that are buying the tickets. And at the end of the day, like, the owners, aren't they getting more money from the fans who buy the tickets?
No.
No, no, the TV money is
way more from TV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe they're saying it to keep up with appearances, but I agree with you, Cap, except they do have to give them 28 days notice, so.
It's not that big a deal. It is a big deal to the people who bought tickets and were like, hey, I'm going to Vegas for that game on Thursday. Ooh, wait a second, it's on Sunday.
Sunday, right. That's tough. And by the way, Vegas is LA is one of those places where people come to watch a game.
Well, that Saints-Rams game is going to be in jeopardy, potentially.
That's right.
Yeah, it's week 16.
I mean, that certain cities that are, particularly the warm weather cities in the winter, that's going to be challenging for sure.
Right, week 17, the Jets at the Browns, Lindsay.
Oh, yeah, that's getting flexed out.
They may not even just play. They'll even play that game.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers already got an ankle, a bum ankle out there.
Let's just cancel that one. All right, a recent survey found that 75% of working Americans said that they experienced the Sunday scaries. The feeling is usually caused by having to say goodbye to the fun, relaxing weekend and or the dread that you need to face all of your upcoming responsibilities in the week ahead. Sunday scaries can sometimes feel like your heart's racing, your palms are sweating. Don't finish the sentence, Cappy. Waking up with a jolt of anxiety or struggling to fall asleep. Do you guys ever get the Sunday scary? Swipe left or swipe right?
So I'm going to swipe right. Not anymore, but when I was younger, I remember, and Cappy, you and Chris, you may remember this because we're old. I would watch on the East Coast growing up, the 4 o'clock game, the late game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they would play the commercial at about 6:30 for 60 minutes.
Yep. And you knew the weekend was over.
And I was like, the weekend is over.
Right.
That's 60 Minutes promo on CBS.
When you heard Summer All say tonight on 60 Minutes.
And I was like, weekend. And I was a kid. I was like, I got to go back to school tomorrow. It sucks. Like, yes, that was it. So I did. Definitely when I was going to school.
I'm going to agree with George here. Used to get the Sunday scaries. Don't get them anymore.
You get the Rachel scaries every day.
That's right. Man. It's a whole different deal. It's a way different deal. But when I was a kid growing up, my father, on Sunday, by around like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, my father was already preparing for Monday. And so Sunday was over by like 10, 11 o'clock.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
It was horrible. At one short point in my life, my dad had like one of these modular home kind of deals in like the Keys of Florida. And like, we'd go down there on Friday. We'd have there Friday and Saturday. And on Sunday, my dad's like, we got to go. I'm like, Dad, we got the whole day. We'll go home. It's a 2-hour drive. He's like, no, I got to get ready for work tomorrow. We were home by noon because he had to get ready for work the next day. So I was like, I can't do that. I'm taking Sunday till the end of the day.
Yeah. And you do.
Yeah. You know it. Jack, you know that is true. Jack.
How about you, Chris? Do you ever get the Sunday scaries?
Not as much anymore. But when I was like in high school, I did, because like I loved The Practice. Remember that show? was on Sunday nights, 10 o'clock on ABC with Dylan McDermott.
Yeah.
And Lara Flynn Boyle. I used to love that show, but when I would hear that theme song, I'd be like, I got an hour, then I got to go to sleep, and I got to be up at 5 for class. And
you probably get the Monday scaries knowing that you have to come in for lit.
What time did you get on the train this morning, or did you not take the train?
Took the train, I believe. It was a later train because we didn't have a sales meeting because tomorrow is the big MBO conference that we do here. So I got on the...
What does MBO stand for
the new business outreach, which I hope tomorrow you guys will stop by since there's no Lakers basketball.
But not National Basketball Organization?
Show up at 3 o'clock, maybe. I mean, press the flesh. Anyway, I got on the 7:34 train out of Orange County.
Nice.
I got to look at the schedule.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, listen,
I should have planned better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What's next, Linz?
All right, last one here. As we head into vacation season, side note, Cappy, make sure you get your summer vacation dates in.
Can I take any vacation over the summer? George is off like the whole summer.
Well, then no.
It's the only time I actually take time off.
Summer. The summer of Sedano.
I mean, have you seen Sedano's
vacation schedule? Hey, listen, I sent it out months ago.
He sent it out in March, so.
Yeah.
Next time, send yours out
in
February.
And I even took one back and replaced it somewhere else already. You still haven't sent one yet.
I'm a bad planner.
I need you to put a few days during the week for me to come down there. To over there, we go lay in the beach down at Del Mar, like the movie Gidget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm totally in. Like Sally Field.
You can put suntan lotion on my back.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You want me to spray it or you want me to rub it?
Okay.
All right, so as I was saying, vacation season is coming up and consumer spending habits are changing, with many Americans taking road trips instead of flying or booking budget hotel rooms. One option that's becoming increasingly popular is housing swaps or pet sitting instead of paying to stay at other people's homes. To save money on vacation, would you guys ever house or pet sit for somebody in exchange for staying for free? Swipe left or swipe right? Cappy, you go first, because I feel like I know what you're going to say.
What do you think?
I think you're going to say you would because you want to save money.
Well, so I'm going to swipe right, but here's why. So, like, I have this friend of mine. He has this really great house in Cabo.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, hey, are you going to be down there? He's like, actually, we're not. I'm like, you guys want to swap houses? You guys come to my place? I'll go to your place? Yeah, we'll do that. I don't know about the dog sitting thing because I don't know if I want to be responsible. But
of course
house
not.
Swapping is a very real thing.
So, I've never done that, so swipe left. But I did get an Airbnb once where in the note... It said, hey, there's a cat. It lives in the basement. You can let it out. And if it gets out of the house, just make sure it gets back in before, like, you go to bed. And it was like, okay, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a weird setup.
Can I tell you a funny story about that?
Yeah.
So I used to Airbnb my house out when I lived in Cleveland. And I had a cat. And I would put him up in my, like, attic upstairs. It was a finished attic, but it was just like an upstairs bedroom, right? So I would lock the door, put all my valuable stuff, whatever, up there, including my cat, because he'd be fine for 2 days, you know, without me being there. Well, I also had a patio that if he climbed in such a way, he could walk onto, like, the ceiling part of it. One day, the people in the Airbnb call me, and they're like, hi, a cat just fell through the roof of the patio, and then my cat, like, I don't know how or why, what happened, but he fell through, and he fell through the ceiling of the patio, and so then I had to, like, go there and, like, get him and put him back, and it was so embarrassing, but it was also really funny, because they're like, a cat just fell through the ceiling. Very weird.
Mm.
But anyway.
Yeah, you're one of those people. I'm not doing that again. Next time I know there's a cat, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't want anybody. I'm not dealing with anybody's pet.
Well, you would have never seen it normally. He just, you know, I guess he.
Yeah, but that's even worse. You're hiding the cat. At least they disclosed it on the front end for me.
Made a dog
I did
sit
tell
your dog.
Them.
You and Rubber Rachel have a lot of property, so you guys are up for a swap.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, an Airbnb swap.
Right. I mean, if you guys have got what we're looking for, we'll swap it out.
Exactly.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. I'm sure you will.
What about, like, taking care of somebody's plants, Cappy? Could you handle that responsibility?
Yeah, I could, but
why are you asking me to water your plants?
I don't want to do that. Right. Exactly.
Well,
water your own plants.
What if you're like, no, you can stay here and watch my house.
Have you seen Cappy's house?
Water
the
plants.
I could go stay at Cappy's house for a week and we would never run into each other.
Okay.
So he doesn't need to go anywhere. You're not taking any vacation time other than when I want to come down there.
Yeah, okay.
So then it's settled. It's final.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a final.
It is a final.
It is. All right, that is Radio Tinder, presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning, small-batch, premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere. Fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. A little update on what's going on in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, which you can listen to after we're done on our sister station, 11:10 a.m. Miami up 22-18, 2:29 to go in the first.
So, you hear what's coming up, though?
What's that?
Tell him, Chris.
Corporate Greg's going to defend
Cappy. Oh, defend
Cappy.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Corporate Greg will defend Cappy. Let's also get into some of the stuff Rob Pelinka said at today's exit meetings and all that stuff. So we'll have that for you here in a second. So stick around for that. All right, we're back in a couple minutes. Stick around. 710 ESPN.